Hi, it's Rebecca Whitman, your host of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm a top-rated life coach, an international best-selling author, and a multi-passionate entrepreneur. I'm on a mission to help you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. The experts on this show will help you achieve work-life balance so that you can experience abundance in seven pillars of life: spirituality, health, emotions, romance, mindset, social, and financial life. When you have all seven pillars of life in alignment, you are balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's go.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, and we are helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today, we have a very special guest. She is a best-selling author from Sweden. Welcome to the show, Inger.
Thank you so much. I love being here, Rebecca.
It's so great to be here and for you to be here. And so last minute, I so appreciate it. I had a guest who I thought might not make it because he didn't confirm. And I said, be on deck. And there she was, you know, 9:15 in the evening in Sweden, like ready to go at the last minute. So I'm very, very appreciative that you were able to jump on here. I am excited to tell my audience about your background. So Inger Norden is a three-time best-selling author. She is an award-winning speaker, a life and business coach. She is the founder and CEO at In Life Amplification. Her mission is to help midlife women step into their power financially, personally, and professionally without compromising their femininity. She is a networker, a connector, an inspirer, known for her big heart and always wanting to share and help others. Her motto is, it's never too late to start over. She did so at 65. So what is your excuse? Inger has been featured three times in Global Woman Magazine and Success Talks and in Businesswoman Today. In 2022, she won a Global Woman Summit Award in the Aspirational category. So Inger, how did you get to be 65 and decide to reinvent yourself? What happened? I know we don't have time for your whole story, but kind of what was your path? And then what was the big turning point at 65 that made you decide to relaunch your life?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here, Rebecca. I so love it.
You're so welcome.
I must say that I'm restarted. I didn't do it immediately, but I felt like, is this all there is? Because I was working in corporate world, in sales, and had a lot of contacts. I was in the middle of everything. And all of a sudden, I wasn't. And I was like feeling, I'm not counted. I think a lot of people do that when they are kind of retiring, if they haven't planned for everything. And I was used to continuously learning. And I wasn't learning anything new. Mm. And then I had my brother-in-law, actually. He said, well, why don't you just relax and sit down, watch the television and go and feed the pigeons? No, he didn't say that. But he said that I could relax because I've been working all my life. And I told him, is that me? You can't be serious. You can't believe that is me. So I then thought about, what shall I do? I mean, I was chairman of the board in the housing community, so I had a lot of things to do, but that wasn't really evolving anything within me.
So that's
why I started a new journey.
I think it's really sad how when women, I don't know if it's the same in Sweden, but up until now, like in the last few years, everything's changed, but In the past, when women were over 50 or 55, they were considered kind of just like old cows and set out to pasture. And mm-hmm. the same way in Sweden, is that why you felt like kind of overlooked and like you weren't learning anything?
Yeah, I think that is, I mean, I was continuously learning because I moved from different areas right. all my life when I was working. But there was this glass ceiling. If you hadn't been a manager at 40, you were not counted on being a manager at all. That was kind of a saying. And this male network that was around as well, that promoted themselves.
Yeah.
But I mean, when I was working, I was in a network that, where I was to be a mentor for females, younger females. But that was, for me, just kind of a, what do you say? You have to have this thingy. It wasn't really real because it wasn't promoted in the right way. You didn't have time to really sit down with those ladies.
Yeah. So you feel like you were just told to mentor women, but it wasn't like real mentorship?
Yeah, that I think that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. And looking at our notes, we had such a great conversation the other day. What is the life amplification system? I know you have a coaching program called, is it called Life Amplification?
No, I actually call it Step Into Your Power Path.
Oh, Step Into Your Power Path. So,
because my book is called The Power of You Square.
Yes.
Create the Power Path of Success.
So how does someone step into their power path? What is their power path and how do they have the courage to overcome their insecurities and step in?
Well, first of all, they have to decide that they want to do it, right?
Right.
That they're not happy where they are now. They have to really step out of that, not continuing being a passenger. And then they have to take the driver's seat. And taking the driver's seat means that you have to be prepared. You have to know what you want. You have to know why you want it, because if your why is not big enough, you will never do it. Mm-hmm. And then you have to set your goals. And as I say to people, you have to have it regarded as being a big change project. Mm-hmm. And I've been running a lot of change projects in my life. And a change project is always having different layers, if you like. It could be personal, it could be system-wise, it could be surroundings and things, and you have to in each layer see where is it you need to change. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of have to produce the draft plan. That's the first step to do that.
I have a similar paradigm because I think that there are seven key areas of life. I call them my seven pillars of abundance. Mm-hmm. So I tell my clients to ask themselves, what do they want? What is their goal in each area, and what changes are necessary to get what they want? So it's very similar.
Yeah. Are you also talking about being a bumpy road? Because it's not a straight road, right?
No, life is never a straight road. I mean, there's always, you know, when you're making a change, it's always 5 steps forward, 2 steps back, 3 steps forward, 1 step back. It's, you know, it's a process. It's definitely a process. When you're making change. And so what are some of the key tips you have for women to overcome their limiting beliefs? Because I know a lot of the women that I work with have insecurities that would stop them from making such a big change.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with face your fear. Mm-hmm. Because limiting beliefs is more normally something you have got due to fear.
Yes.
And so, and that is it's so important to be like a warrior sometimes. Just push through the finishing line. Push through the fear. And then on the other side, you will realize that, wow, I did this. I actually did it. So I had a belief system. I actually went through trainings with Tony Robbins, for instance.
Oh, I love him. You went through all his trainings?
Yeah. I didn't go through all. I didn't go through all of it. But I did. Sorry?
I did Unleash the Power Within. Is that the one you're referring to?
No, I think it was something else. I don't remember. It was online, so I don't really remember if it was what it was. But anyhow, they were talking about that you should map out your limiting belief and then your unlimiting beliefs. So if you have like the limiting beliefs, how would that serve you if you had unlimiting beliefs instead? And I think that was really something that made me, hang on. Why do I think I'm too old to do anything? Why do I think I'm not visible? Why do I think that, et cetera, et cetera? And then you can change it. Because if you believe you can do anything, you can.
I think that's beautiful. So how did you change so many women? I remember moving to LA when I was 30. And I had the limiting belief, I'm too old to be a successful actress. So I was only 30 and had the limiting belief. I feel like it is instilled in women that their worth is tied up in their age, and that the older they get, the less worth they have. So what did you tell yourself to overcome the limiting belief of I'm too old?
Well, first of all, I realized I'm not. And I realized that I did a lot of things. I went on a lot of personal development things and all the trainings. And I was the oldest one there. But I managed to do everything everybody else did. And then people came to me and said, oh, you're such an inspiration. You have to step up and be seen. Could you meet my mom? It was like really... eye-opening to see this, that you were actually counted. Yeah. You could really realize that. So what I have to say about that is that you have to have the environment that supports you. And if you find that environment of like-minded people, that is when you prosper.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, I like to say, go where the love is. If someone in your environment is telling you anything, any kind of limiting belief, you're too old, you're too young, you're too fat, you're too thin, you're too clumsy, whatever it is, in order to be successful and to live your best life, I suggest that you leave that person. I mean, first give them a warning and say, it's not okay to talk to me that way. And if you continue to do so, I will leave. And if they keep doing it, then in order to preserve your dignity and self-respect and to become your greatest yet to be, I recommend to my clients that they leave toxic.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Say bye-bye.
It's toxic.
Yeah. So
why did you start writing your book, The Power of You? You had already written two successful books. What was the impetus to write the third book?
Oh, that was actually the first book.
Oh,
the Power of You Square. Yeah, that was the first book.
Okay.
So I wrote it due to that I was, we all know what happened, like in 2019, 20, right?
Yeah.
Around the world.
Yes.
I was lucky to be in Sweden. We didn't close down at all. But having said that, I was due to hold my first workshop and people didn't want to come. So I was like, hang on, how should I do this now? What should I do? How do I move forward? So instead of going online as people told me to, I was reluctant to do that. I actually instead wrote the book. So I had four workshops prepared already. So the first chapters are from those workshops. And then I added two more.
Oh, that's great. And what is the power of you? What was your workshop supposed to be about?
Science of the mind is the first chapter. Self-leadership is the second one. Sales. Is it yourself or a product or service? And then social media. do's and don'ts, I would say. And then I added create your own economy.
I love
and
it.
The last one was your health is the basis for all.
I love it. Let's talk about self-leadership. Mm. What are some of your biggest tips for people to lead themselves? Because I know a lot of people who listen to this show are entrepreneurs. They're salespeople. And they are caught up in the productive, busy, but not getting results. I mean, they're busy, not productive. So how can people lead themselves into getting results and not just get caught up in the busyness of their day?
I think the first one is to start your day off in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Be with yourself. Take those minutes, half an hour, whatever it is, to really start your day in a good way. And that means that you have to have some kind of, I forgot the English word for it now.
Morning practice?
Yeah. Something that you do every morning. Routines.
A morning routine, yeah.
Yeah. So I, for instance, have my gratitude process I do every morning. And that kind of includes setting up my goal for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And also what I'm thankful for. And if you start in that way, you will feel so much better, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then another thing I say is that if you're not feeling good when you kind of go up from bed in the morning, go and stand in front of the mirror and laugh at yourself. And you will start laughing for real. Because you can't realize that that person that doesn't feel right, that's laughing. And laughter is kind of really something that's contagious.
Yes.
So if you laugh, you will spread the love around you.
That is so funny. So I've heard mirror work, like saying, I love you, you're perfect. I've never heard of just looking in the mirror and laugh because life is funny, you know?
Yeah.
Like, take it so seriously, and we don't even remember that one day we're not even going to be here. You know, that this experience has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And if we really think about the impermanence of life and how serious we take it when we're here, it is, to me, that is absurdly funny. So I've heard that when people get to heaven, they're going to have like the biggest laugh of their life. Like, oh my God, all that, you know, like stress and angst and for this, like it's funny. It is funny to be human because we take ourselves so darn seriously.
Yeah.
What?
And then I had one more thing that I have to say there. It's not only that, you have to also do your to-do list. What is today's list of what you are to do? And your not to-do list.
I've never heard of a not to-do list. What is a not to-do list?
Well, if you are working from home, for instance, maybe you get caught up sitting in front of the television instead of doing what you should do. Or you try to do a lot of things, like not taking breaks. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we can't focus all the day. Completely. You need to take breaks. And also, something that's really important is to celebrate.
Yes.
Every little thing you do.
Yes.
Celebrate.
I want to celebrate something with you. I just found out today that this podcast, The Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, is rated top 1.5% globally for self-help. And that is like, yay, I'm so excited. Woo! Thank you, listeners. I love you so much. Thank you for sharing the show. So yes, celebration. Celebrate the wins, because when you build on the wins, that leads to the next win. When you focus on your failure and you beat yourself up, then you go on a downward spiral. So I think celebrating the wins is something that a lot of entrepreneurs are really driven. They're type A, they're perfectionist. And I think that we don't celebrate our wins enough. So I agree. Celebration.
And I actually heard when you said perfectionist, I had someone saying that a perfectionist is also a procrastinator.
Yeah.
Because they have to have everything perfect before they do it. And you can't, right? Life isn't perfect.
I have a new saying that I'm going to coin. I'm going to make a t-shirt, and it's messy is the new sexy. Because...
can you send me a t-shirt?
Yes, I will send you a t-shirt. Because messy is real. It's raw. It's authentic. Mm. People will not fall in love with you on social media if you're just, everything's perfectly produced and just perfect, because they want to be able to relate to you. And if you're so perfect all the time, you know, it just doesn't work. So I encourage people who are listening, just go on social media and just don't always have your perfect hair and makeup and filter, and just be yourself. Just
be the perfect imperfectionist.
Yes, be perfectly imperfect. And to overcome my perfectionism, I like to say I'm striving for imperfection. Because if I have to strive, I'm going to strive for imperfection. And I am not a mistake if I make a mistake. Because I used to think that I am a mistake. I am a bad person if I make a mistake. But now I know that mistakes are actually learning opportunities, and they're the stepping stones to success. Because when I'm making mistakes, that means I'm in action. And the only way to reach my goals is to take massive action. So I'm claiming that imperfectionism is the goal today.
That's a good one. I will borrow that.
And let's talk about your sales methodology. What advice do you have about sales? I know you've spent many years of your career in sales. What is your sales method?
Sales is all to do with that you are connecting with people.
Yes.
You are present with them. Mm-hmm. If you're not, you can rather do anything else. And I mean, everyone is selling every day.
Yes.
If you have kids, you sell to the kids. You should ought to do this. If you do this, you get that, or whatever. But I mean, the thing is, if you have a system is based on, you set up your sales call in a certain way, where you kind of ask for permission to ask questions.
Yes.
And then from there, you go and you create, I know they'd call it rapport, but you create trust, I would say. Because you create trust by understanding the situation people are in, right? So you ask questions. And on top of that question you ask, okay, what will this mean to you if this is sold? Is there anything else? And you continue asking questions until you see, oh, they lit up. Then you have come to the last question you can ask. And then you can ask, if I sold this for you, would you be interested? How much would that be worth for you?
That's a great closing question. If I solved, first you ask the questions to get the problem, and then you say, if I solve this problem, would you be interested?
And then, so I mean, that is what it is all the time, right? So you need to have the underlying problem, because the first problem you hear is not the right one, probably, because that is what you have on the surface. It's something else below. So there is a methodology where you can kind of, you're told not to jump into a solution too early. You need to kind of focus on getting to the bottom.
So you keep asking questions until you get to a real pain point, and then you ask questions. So the one that they lead with isn't usually the real pain point. Why do you think that is? Are they hiding it? Are they embarrassed?
Or they, well, maybe they don't realize it.
They don't realize it.
Because I mean, if you hide something within you and you have it down in your dungeon, how can you realize it if you don't get it up?
I had a coach
that was talking to me, and then he said something just out of the blue, and I started crying.
Wow.
And that was something that came out from me, from within me, that I hadn't been talking about for years. And that's what I've written a chapter about in the other book I was in, Tap Into Your Power.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Because I think, and it's such a realization when you get things out of you, how easy things go, how much more happiness you can find.
Yeah, I mean, you have to purge, and that's what a good coach or therapist does. It helps you kind of purge the things that you don't even know that are in your subconscious that are no longer serving you.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on leadership, especially leading from the feminine, like you said? What is the difference in your opinion of leading from the feminine versus the masculine?
In Sweden, I know I was on kind of courses where we were supposed to be really secure, feeling secure because it was only females.
Mm-hmm.
That was the worst course I've ever been on. because females doesn't really support each other. I'm really doing this too much, right?
Yeah.
But it's a lot in saying that you, instead of supporting a female to grow, you're trying to grow yourself based on the females. And you can take an example there from the medical area. If you are a nurse, and there is almost always females, right?
Yeah.
And then they are to have a manager. And if they choose one of the nurses, she doesn't get any support from the other ones. And that's crazy.
Competitive with each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's why I really believe in cooperation instead of competition. And if you support people around you and really have that as your basis, you show your vulnerability. And as females, we are taught not to, right? But if you do that, you will connect on a much deeper level and you will really thrive, as will the people you are serving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I see leadership as a way of serving.
Yes, I agree. Leadership is a way of serving. So how is that different than the masculine paradigm of leadership?
A lot of things with regards to the masculine world is to do with, okay, before a meeting, we go and agree. And then at the meeting, we say, yeah, we have already agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is a stereotype thing, right?
Yeah.
But there are really leaders that are really good and in connection with their feminine side, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have all the archetypes within us, right?
Right.
So it's a matter of kind of connecting on the right level. I had one guy that was kind of telling me I was delivering too much. I was over-delivering, and that was a threat to people around me. Mm. And he did like this, you know? Where is the main fingers pointing? It's to yourself. So he was the one that was threatened by me.
Right, yeah.
So it's a matter of kind of, what are they actually saying?
Yeah, we like to say, if you have one finger pointed at someone else, you've got three pointing back at you. So
exactly.
It's actually projecting his own fear of being mm-hmm. inadequate onto you.
Yeah. And then there are several different ways of, I mean, you have the one that is depressing everyone around below them, but you have also the one that is kind of listening mm-hmm. and connecting on a deeper level. The best manager I actually had was a guy.
And what was so great about him?
He saw me as a person. He didn't only see me as me having my role. He saw me as a person.
Yes, people over profit.
Yeah.
Well, people can feel it when someone is just transactional and just looking at them as a way to meet their quota or make a sale. But when he sincerely took an interest in you as a human being, that feels different and it feels better. Yeah. And that makes people actually want to perform more.
Exactly.
Do more sales because there's a loyalty that he built by seeing you as a human being and seeing your true authentic self. So I think those are great tips in leadership. So what are you working on now? What is next for you?
I'm actually putting together a new program where I'm helping people to step into their power path, as I have done.
Yeah.
To really go through this, to kind of have, presently I have 7 steps.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this, what do you call it? The, when you say a car instead of take the driver's seat, I have the
steering wheel.
Sorry?
Take the steering wheel?
No, I have the car on each step. I have things from a car.
Oh, okay, cool. Like the mechanic.
So take the driver's seat is the first step. The other one, take the handbrake off. And then put things in gear. And then stop, look, evaluate, and proceed. And then every step is kind of the, what do you call it? Synonym with a car. What do you say?
Automobile?
Yeah, but you say you are using a car as an example all the way through. What do you call it?
As an analogy?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Awesome. It's too late in the evening.
And English is not your first language, and you're doing a wonderful, wonderful job with this interview. So, what are your final thoughts? What wisdom would you like to leave our audience with? I know we talked a lot about leadership, sales, mindset, femininity. Anything else you would like to say about any of those topics?
I would like to say to people, take action now. If you're not happy where you are, do something about it because you will feel so much better.
That is wise. And if you don't know what action to take, just take the next indicated action. Because I feel like when people want to reinvent themselves, start over, relaunch, they get overwhelmed and they don't even know where to start. Just take the next step.
Yeah.
The next
step. And then after that, you can correct and continue. Just take the first step, right?
Yeah, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And I would just like to end with your main message that, you know, I'm looking at your screen behind you. It's never too late to start over. So if you're listening to this podcast and you think it's too late, you missed the mark in anything, you know, relationship, friends, finance, anything, it's never too late to start over, and 100% is possible 100% of the time. And it's funny, I just got a new acting agent and I had all but given up on my acting career, and here I am with a new acting agent, and I was telling myself the limiting belief that I aged out and I missed my boat. But you know what? It's never too late in anything that you want.
There are different roles, right?
There are different roles. Absolutely. It's really a lifetime passion of mine. There are different roles for every age. So Inger, you have been absolutely delightful. Thank you so much for being my pinch hitter tonight and jumping in at, you know, now it's almost 10 o'clock in Sweden. How can people stay in touch with you? Where can we find you online?
Oh, via my Linktree.
Great.
It's the best way, I think.
I'll be sure to share that in the show.
You can share that, right?
Yes.
Because there is everything about me.
Perfect.
And otherwise, they can actually connect with me on Facebook, on LinkedIn. I'm not that much on Instagram, I have to admit.
That's okay. There's only so many hours in a day to do social media, but she will answer your DMs on LinkedIn or Facebook. Well, thank you, Inger, for staying up way past your bedtime and being a wonderful guest on the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Keep rating, reviewing, subscribing, keep sharing the show. It's thanks to you that we made it to the top 1.5% globally ranked podcast. I love and appreciate you listeners so much. And if you want to take a screenshot of me talking to Inger and tag me on Instagram at Rebecca E. Whitman, I'll be sure to reshare and give you a shout out. Everyone, until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetize. Thank you so much for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I am hosting a weekly women's circle on Tuesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, where you get to experience my coaching for free. It is open and it is amazing for accountability, support, and community. All you have to do is go to the link in bio to reserve your spot, and I can't wait to meet you on a live Zoom call. I also am having an amazing summer promotion called the 5-Day Drop. Lose 5 pounds in 5 days, guaranteed. It's a great way to detox your body. It's a metabolism reset, and it will help you feel balanced, beautiful, and abundant all summer long. So make sure you go to the link in my bio to learn about the 5-Day Drop. I am so appreciative of you listening to my show. The best compliment you could ever pay me is to rate, review, subscribe, and share with a friend, because I know you know other people who want to go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Thanks again for listening, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Bye.